Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin Daf Lamed Aleph, the last daf of the third parak of Maseches Gittin. We are holding on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, about 18 lines up from the end of the page, which I guess is the middle of the page. At the word Ella, last word on the line is Ella. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Leah Shalom, and also by Josh Kra, in memory of his mother, Madeline Kra, Malka Bas Yehuda Leah Shalom, whose yard site is today. The Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we left off right in middle of a conversation. We had quoted this brisa that told us that if a Yisrael tells a Levi, by the way, I have some miser that belongs to you, then you don't have to worry about the trumas miser that might be mixed in that miser. But if he tells him a specific measure, kor miser yesh chabiyadi, I have a core of your miser, then you have to worry about the trumas miser. So the Gemara was just wondering, my kamar, what are we talking about? What are you worried about? Who's got trumas miser? Who is mafresh trumas miser? What is this about? So we had one suggestion yesterday. The Gemara is going to have two more suggestions today as to what exactly it's referring to. The suggestion we had yesterday was that if Yisrael tells the Levi, I've been mafresh miser and I'd like to buy it from you, you don't have to worry that the Levi made that miser into trumas miser because he has no idea how much it is. But if you told him how much it was, and then you buy it from him, you have to worry that maybe you're not allowed to eat it because maybe it's really trumas meiser. So the Gemara rejected that because atu birashi askinan. What kind of Levi would do that? Why would he be mafresh trumas meiser from stuff that he knows that Israel is keeping and be machshel him in an isra of eating trumas? So there's no way that that would have been what happened. So the Gemara is going to have two other explanations as to what that brisa means. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about working with an assumption. If you have payrolls put away somewhere, can you be mafresh trumas maestros from those payrolls in order to be able to eat other tevel? You don't have those payrolls right in front of you. Can you assume that they still exist? It's about an assumption that they still exist even though you don't see them right now. The Gemara is going to tell us, the Mishnah Rav is going to tell us that according to Rabbi Lazar, you can assume that if you came back and checked later and you see that they're no longer there, that they've been ruined, then you can assume me'es la'es, everything. You have to be choshesh for me'es la'es. So the Gemara is going to wonder, what does it mean, choshesh from me'es la'es? Does that mean you have to assume that everything in the last 24 hours is after the payrolls have already been ruined? Or does it mean, no, you can assume you have to assume anything after the first 24 hours they were already ruined? Meaning you last checked in on them 5 days ago. So does it mean that for days 1 through 4, you could assume everything was good and it was just day 5 that they were ruined? Or does it mean, no, you can only assume day 1 everything was okay, and days 2 through 5 it got ruined? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss how this relates to the assumptions we make about a mikveh. If you know that a mikveh had arba'im sa'ah, and now you see that it doesn't have arba'im sa'ah, and you kept on toveling things in there, so what sorts of assumptions can you make about the kashrus of the mikveh as far as when it became puzzle? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the best times to sell grain and wine and oil. What are the ideal times to sell these things? And the Mainafkamina as to what are the ideal times to sell these things. You sell them whenever you want to sell them. So the Mainafkamina, what the best times to sell these things are. And the Gemara is going to, since some of that relates to a particular ruach that blows that has an impact on the produce, so the Gemara is going to talk about what is special about the ruach kadim, and it's going to tell us two different stories that have discussions about ruchos involved in those stories, and that, as Hashem, will bring us to the end of the parak. So let's begin again. We're about 18 lines from the end of the page. Last one line is Ella, and we're trying to explain this cryptic brisa that Yisrael tells the Levi, I have meiser, without telling him how much he's got. I have meiser of yours, don't worry about trumas meiser. But if he tells him how much he's got, then you got to worry about trumas meiser. What is going on? So Ella, Rav Mishash, Rav Avidi, Hachi Ka'amar. This
this is how to explain the Braisi. Yisrael Shomer LeBen Levi, Maiser LeAvicha Biyadi. Yisrael tells a son of a Levi that he was friendly with, that I was mafrish while your father was alive. I was mafrish Maiser in order to give it to him, and I told him that I was mafrish Maiser to give it to him, and now he's no longer here. Hey, Lach Damav, and here's the money. I would like to buy this Maiser. Sa'im Choshen Shema Asa'ov V'chumas Maiser Al Makom Acher. You don't have to worry that maybe the father turned it into Trumas Meiser for something else, because the father had no idea how much it was, so he couldn't have used it as Trumas Meiser. But Kor Meiser Levicha Biyadi. But if you say, look, I have an exact measurement of a Kor of Meiser that really I had designated for your father, and I told your father about, but I didn't have a chance to give it to him before he died, Hey Lech Damav, but I'd like to buy it off of you, so Choshen Shema Asa'ov Trumas Meiser Al Makom Acher. You have to be Choshish that maybe it's Trumas Meiser, because and over here you don't have, it's no rishos to make a Trumas Meiser. The father thought he was going to get it, and if you would have told him that you'd like to buy it off him, he would have told you, no, you can't, it's Trumas Meiser, it's not something that you're allowed to eat. But the father's no longer here to tell us that, so you have to be choshish that maybe he made a Trumas Meiser on something else. So says Gemara, no, that's unlikely also, because v'chinechshedu chaverim litrom shalom in amukaf. You think that someone is going to be chashud that he's mafresh the trumas meiser in your possession for all the meiser rishon he has in his possession. The halacha about afresh the trumas meisos is that everything has to be min amukaf. It all has to be in the vicinity of each other. It all has to be right near each other. You're not supposed to be mafresh shalom in amukaf. Rashi writes, why are you not supposed to be mafresh shalom in amukaf? Because maybe the peros aren't going to be be'en, meaning exactly what we're going to discuss in our Mishnah today on Lamed Aleph. How do you know the peros that you're assuming are there are still there? So if you don't have everything in front of you, maybe it's not there. Tosfos in Divrei Maskil Litrom says that Truma Gedola has to be min amukaf midal raisa. It's not because of a svara. Maybe the peros are not there. It's a pasuk. Varimosa mimenu, the Yerushalmi darshins mimenu min amukaf. So the Yerushalmi has a drasha on about Trumas Meiser from the pasuk Mikol Matnos Seichem Tarimu, that Mikol Matnos Seichem Afilu Shalom Min Amukaf, that while Truma Gedola must be Min Amukaf, Trumas Meiser could even be Shalom Min Amukaf. But says Tosos, even by Trumas Meiser, it has to be Min Amukaf Midrabanan Gezeira Atu Truma Gedola. So the way Rashi understands is that everything's always got to be Min Amukaf. It's all Midrabanan L'chora, because I'm just worried that maybe the stuff is not be'en. Tulsa says, no, it starts with drushas. There's a drusha that tells us Truma Gedol has got to be Min HaMukaf. A drusha that tells us Trumas Meiser does not need to be Min HaMukaf, but we make a gzeira mitrabanan of Trumas Meiser atu Truma Gedola. Now, according to Rashi, that it has to be Min HaMukaf because maybe it's not be'en, the Ramban is not sure whether he holds that way by Truma Gedola, that that this din of not being Torim Min of not being Torim Min HaMukaf is Midrabanan, and the pasuk is only in Asmachta Ba'alma, or by Trumas Meiser, it's only by Trumas Meiser that it's Midrabanan. Meaning, when Rashi says that the whole thing is Midrabanan, is he commenting on Trumas Meiser, or is he saying even by Truma Gedola the whole thing is Midrabanan? The Ramban is not sure. Now, the Meiri says that this din is clearly only Midrabanan because the whole din of Min HaMukaf has to only be Midrabanan, because the halacha is b'dievet, if you're mafra shalom Min HaMukaf, Trumas or Truma. If it were Daraisa, it should be Ma'akev. It shouldn't be that if you're mafresh shalom min hamukaf that it works. Furthermore, the Meiri points out, the Gemara in Ervin tells us that to be mafresh shalom min hamukaf, the Gemara refers to it as an iser zuta, a small avero. That's not the way we talk about isurim d'oraisa. So the fact that it calls it an iser zuta implies that according to the Bavli, it's a din midrabanan. Fine, but be that as it may, we therefore reject our second explanation of this brisa. Elo amar Ravashi. So Ravashi says we have a third explanation of the Braisa. Hachi ka'amar. Ben Yisrael shomer Levi. Ben Yisrael says to a Levi, kach omer li Abba, this produce that I have here belonged to my father. My father's no longer alive, but he told me before he died, the Maiser l'cha biyadi, that he has Maiser that belongs to you, that he's hanging on to, that he intended to give to you. Oh, Maisel Avicha Biyadi. Or my father told me before he died that he had Maisel that belonged to your father who's no longer alive. So Choshel Nechumas Maisel Shabo. When he didn't say how much it is, we have to be Choshesh that maybe the Yisrael had been Mafresh Chumas Maisel from that had used that as Chumas Maisel. And you're not allowed to eat it. That you're Choshesh that he was not Mafresh Chumas Maisel and given the Chumas Maisel to the Kohen, and therefore you're not allowed to eat that Maisel until somebody's actually Mafresh Chumas Maisel from it. Even though we have a Chazak on a Chaver that he's not going to leave something She'enu Masukan, so he was Mesakein all of his Peros, including L'chora, being Mafresh Chumas Maisel. No, Kivin Delo Kitz, Lov Mesakein Le'balabayis. But since the father didn't tell the son how much Maisel it was, it's probably because he didn't yet measure it. He didn't yet know how much Maisel it was. And if he didn't yet know how much Maisel it was, he probably didn't take the Chumas Maisel. He probably wasn't Mafresh Chumas Maisel, because that has to be taken. You have to know how much to take. So he probably didn't take care of it. But if the father said, Kor Maisel L'chabiyadi, I have an exact measure of a kor of Maisel that I owe to this Levi. Oh, Kor Maisel L'vichabiyadi. Or I have an exact measure of a kor that my father told me of Maisel that he had to give to your father. Ein Choshen L'chumas Maisel Shabo. You can assume that he was Mafresh the Chumas Maisel and everything is fine. Kivin the kids to Kivin Takne Balabayas. That since he knew exactly how much it was, probably he was Mesakein that he took the Chumas Maisel from it. Says Gemara, what? Who's taking Chumas Maisel? The way it normally works is you give Maisel Rishon to a Levi, the Levi receives the Maisel Rishon, he has to take the Chumas Maisel. We're saying now we're working with the assumption that the Yisrael that had it was Mafresh Chumas Maisel. V'chiyesh lo reshus l'balabayis l'chumas Maisel. Does the Maisel of Yisrael, does the Maisel belong to the Yisrael that he has the rights to take the Chumas Maisel? Shalomi das habaylim, without any permission from the baylim? The Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia darshins from the pasuk gam atem l'rabo shluchachem, that you can make a shliach to be Mafresh for you, but it darshins ma'atem l'daitchem av shulchachem l'daitchem, that it has to, the shliach has to be authorized to do it. So Yisrael's going to go and he's going to take Chumas Maisel from the Maisel that belongs to the Levi without the Levi even being aware of it? So says Gemara, it could be that you can, if you assume that Abelazar ben Gamla, like the sheet of Abelazar ben Gamla, who holds that Yisrael does have Rishos to be Torim Chumas Maisel without the Das of the Levi from the Levi's Maisel. Now the Ritva says, Abelazar ben Gamla, he means that that's a Das Yachid, and that the Rabbanan are Cholik on Abelazar, and that's how the he does medayik as well, from the fact that the Gemara says Abelazar ben Gamla, it sounds like it's a das yachid and chalukin alav chaverav. However, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Shumos Paragimel Halacha Tezvav like this brisa, like Abelazar ben Gamla, that a balabayis can be mafresh Shumos Meiser, even though he's in Yisrael, he's doing it on behalf of the Levi without the Levi's permission. And the Radvaz writes that the reason the Rambam paskins like Abelazar ben Gamla is because the Rambam learns that there's no machlokas, that the Chamar Moda and he's bedaik from the fact that the Gemara says, what does a balabayis have rishus to do it? And the Gemara says, in. It doesn't say hamani. It says in. Yes, he does have the right to do it because Abelazar ben Gamla taught us that he has the right to do it. So the Ram learns that it's not a machlokas. In the Madane Aretz, he says that it's a pella gadol that the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch leave out this din, which is the yesod and ikur in Afrashas Chumas Maisel. And even if the halacha is not like Abelazar ben Gamla, they should have at least told us that. I mean, something should have been mentioned about this, whether you can or can't. So, therefore, since Shulchan Aruch says the din of being Mafresh Chuma Gedola and Chumas Maisel and just puts it all together, and it doesn't say that the Afrashas Chumas Maisel is done Dafka Al Yidei Levi, it sounds like it's paskening like the Rambam that Chuma, that just like Chuma Gedola is done by the Yisrael, the Chumas Maisel can be done by the Yisrael as well, because we pasken like Abelazar ben Gamla. So what does Rabbi Elazar ben Gamla say? D'tanya, we have a brisa. Rabbi Elazar ben Gamla Omer, v'nechshav lechem trumaschem. Pasuk says, v'nechshav lechem trumaschem. So we darshan b'shtei trumos ha'kosav medaber. That the pasuk is talking about When the Torah says you mafresh shumas meiser, it's when you mafresh shumas, it's talking about two trumas. Achas shuma gedola, vachas shumas meiser. Trumas chem is both a reference to shuma gedola and to shumas meiser, and it's equating the two. Keshem she shuma gedola nitalas ba'omer. Just like when you take shuma gedola, it's an imprecise measure. You take it based on an estimate. Bimachshava, and you could take a bimachshava. You don't have to do a physical hafrasha. You could just have in mind that the tavua that's in the general area over there should be the truma. So kach trumas meiser nitalas ba'omer. So too, when it comes to trumas meiser, it doesn't need to be a precise measure. Ubimachshava, and you could also be done bimachshava. And here's the key line: ukshem sheish l'rishus l'balabayis litrum truma gedola kach sheish l'rishus l'balabayis litrum trumas meiser. Just like the Yisrael can be mafresh the truma gedola, Yisrael could be the one that's mafresh the trumas meiser as well. You don't need to have the Levi be the one to be mafresh the trumas meiser. Now the interesting point over here is we had mentioned almost derech agav that truma gedola is nitalas ba'omer, that you take it by estimating. You don't take a precise amount for truma gedola. So the Ramban writes that rabim omrim that truma gedola is nitalas af ba'omer. That when you take truma gedola, let's say you want to be a benini, you want to give exactly 2%, 1/50th for truma gedola. So you want to measure it out exactly, gesuntei, go ahead and do so. But af ba'omer, you're even allowed to estimate. You don't have to measure it out. And that's what Rashi writes in Beitza Daf Yud Gimel. The Ramban says, I disagree. I think that truma gedola nitalas ba'omer means dafka ba'omed, that you're not allowed to measure exactly and precisely when you're mafresh shuma gedola. Shuma gedola must be taken ba'omed, and that's what the Rambam paskens in the Shumas Parak Dalet, that's what the Ravid paskens in the Sasagas over there, and that's what the Rashbam Beitza Yud Gimel holds as well. Now why would it have to be taken dafka ba'omed? Why can't you measure exactly how much you're taking? So Tosfos writes in Dibur HaMaskil tell us it's in order to make sure that you're going to be Torim ba'ayin yafa, because you're going to be afraid to give too little. So when you estimate, you're going to estimate a lot, and we want people to give ba'ayin yafa. The Rambam in the third paragraph of Shumas Halacha Dalet writes that no, it's because the Torah didn't give a shear. So the Kesef Mishnah explains that since the Torah didn't give a shear, you shouldn't make a shear out of it. You shouldn't be makbar about a shear. So yeah, we have basic guideposts: 1/40th for a very generous person, 1/60th for a stingier person, 1/50th for the average. But the Torah didn't make a shear, so you're not supposed to make a shear out of it. The Ravid in the Sasagos says since the Torah didn't give a shear, better to give ba'omed v'lo b'mida, because if you're going to do dafka b'mida, shami yosef or yuma'et, and it's going to be makalkal the truma. So what does that mean? So what? You'll be a little off. You'll be yosef. You might make a mistake. The Ravid says, I'd rather you know that you're making a mistake by doing it with an estimate than to try to do a precise measure and maybe make a mistake, because that would be terrible. What's so terrible about that if you maybe make a mistake? So Mishnah Melech says, because it could be that the das of the person is that I only want to be makdish 2% of this to actually be truma, and then he accidentally takes a little more than 2% or a little less than 2%, so we're not going to have a clear picture of what is and isn't really truma, because it all goes based on his das also. So you want to make sure that he knows it's only an estimate, and since it's only an estimate, he's saying, okay, whatever I'm physically mafresh, that's going to be the truma. Okay, so that is the discussion. Now we move on to the Mishnah. So let's say a person keeps peros in a nice protected place in order to rely on those peros to be mesakin tevel that he wants to eat somewhere else, meaning he's going to eat somewhere else and he's going to say, okay, this produce I'm eating here, don't worry, my trumas and maisers are already covered because I have peros in a safe place somewhere else where I know that they're protected. Now the halacha is the case is troubling, because the halacha is, as we mentioned before, when you torim you're supposed to be torim min amukaf. So what's going on over here? How could you be maniach peros somewhere else and be ochel on it mimakom acher? So Tosfos is bothered in Dibur HaMaskil Maniach, and he says that even though ein torim min amukaf, that it has to be right nearby, over here we must be talking about erev Shabbos. That one of the exceptions to the rule is when it's erev Shabbos. That's the only coincidence. When it's Erev Shabbos and time is pressured, so you're allowed to be mafresh shalom and amukaf. That's what the Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos, and that's what we rely on. That's what the Mishnah must be referring to. In Rashi, he writes v'chein oseh tamid. And this is what the guy always does. Well, this is what the guy always does. Doesn't sound like it's a Shas HaChak and it's Erev Shabbos. Sounds like it's not only an Erev Shabbos. The Ramban says that based on what Rashi wrote earlier on Laman and Beis, the Ramaskal Mukaf, that the reason you're not Torim Shalom and Mukaf is because of a chashash that maybe that which you're relying on isn't really there, that it's not Be'ed. Maybe over here it's Mutter because you put it B'makam HaMishtamer. You put it in a very well protected place. So the whole reason you're not allowed to be Torim Shalom and Mukaf is that maybe it's not there anymore. Yeah, but if you put it in a very safe place, then you know that it's still there, and you don't have to be choshesh for that. The Ramban, however, concludes that minat Torah is also allowed for shum shalom and amukaf, and therefore it doesn't help that you put it in a makom mishtamer. Right? That only works according to Rashi's explanation. But we pointed out that Tosas quotes from Yerushalmi; it's a drasha from a pasuk that you're not allowed to do shalom and amukaf. So I don't care how well you know that it's mishtamer. By Trumas Meister, it's only midraban, but by Truma Gedola, it's daraisa. So he says, okay, maybe we're talking about Trumas Meister over here, where it's only midraban. Or maybe Rav Shlom and Amukav that you're doing over here is to be matzil nama aretz from eating tevel, not for your own eating. For your own eating, you'd be makbid that is minamukav. But you see, nama aretz is about to eat it, so you want to take care of the nama aretz and make sure that he's not doing anything wrong. So you're mafresh from shalom and Amukav, and you're allowed to do that in order to be matzil the nama aretz. That's a gemara neirvin to be matzil the nama aretz from eating tevel. Or it could be that maybe you're mafresh minamukav, but the peiros are just covered, so you don't see them. So maybe that's a little bit dachuk, that maybe the case in our Mishnah is it all is minamukav, it's all right in front of you, but some of the peiros are covered up, so you don't see them, and that's what you're relying on in that makom hamishtamer. Okay, you got to come up with some way that our Mishnah is not a violation of being mafresh shalom and amukav. Or it could be the Rambam seems to understand, even though you're not allowed to be mafresh shalom and amukav, if you were mafresh shalom and amukav, I mean, it's talking about b'diavad, you did it, okay? You weren't supposed to. People don't always do everything they're supposed to do. So miniach peiros is mafresh shalom and truma maisos. So he's designated peiros in a protected place, and you're going to rely on that for your trumas and maisos, so that you can eat other peiros. Or ma'os lios mafresh shalom and maisos sheni. You designated money so that you can be mechalal maisos sheni on that money, and therefore eat the what previously was maisos sheni produce even outside Yerushalayim. Mafresh shalom b'cheskos shen kayamim. You could assume that it's still there. That if you left it there, it was in a safe place. You can assume that it's still there. Im avdu, but if you went back and looked for it, and now it's gone, it's destroyed. So now, how far back do you have to assume? You've been relying on this for the last week, and every time you've eaten, you've been assuming that that will be the Trumas and Maisos for the peiros that you're eating. So Hareza Choshesh Me Eis La'Eis. You have to be Choshesh that they've been Avad Me Eis La'Eis for 24 hours. And if the peiros that you were Mafresh were still, that you were Mafresh for are still around, you have to be Mafresh again, because whatever you have to be Choshesh, the peiros that you had put in a safe place weren't there, so whatever you tried to be Mesakein relying on those peiros is not Mesukein. So you're going to have to take Trumas Maisos again. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. That is the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. Now, Minadin, Rabbi Elazar, the Aruch Nener points out, Rabbi Elazar is clearly Somech al Chazaka. Because if he wasn't Somech al Chazaka, it should go all the way back Mishas HaNechasan. Right, you should go back to the last time you saw them, and every moment since the last time you saw them should be a problem. It's all clearly he relies on the chazaka. Why then is he machmir about the me'es la'es? Because that must be a din midrabanan, a chumra midrabanan to be choshesh me'es la'es, because you should have checked a little more frequently, and the fact that you didn't check at least once a day tells us you were being too trusting, and therefore it's a knas midrabanan that we assume that it's problematic. And the Gemara is going to discuss what me'es la'es means. Does it mean that in the last 24 hours, in the most recent 24 hours, you have to assume it was gone already, but anything before that, you assume it was fine? Or do we assume that, no, only in the first 24 hours after you last saw it, do you assume it was fine, but every moment after that, you assume it's a problem? The Gemara is going to discuss. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you leave yayin in order to be mafresh shumas maisos for other yayin, we don't always assume that it's b'cheskaso. There are times that we know that wine will get ruined. B'shlosha prakim bot k'mesa yayin. There are three times of the year that you have to check to see that the wine hasn't spoiled. Because if it did spoil, then it's vinegar and you're not allowed to use it as trumas amaisos on that which is regular wine. So you're not allowed to be mafresh min achometz al yayin. So there are three times of the year where it's very likely that it's spoiled. And they are b'kidum shal motzai achag, when the ruach hakadim blows on motzai sukkis, u'botzas madar, when when the small grapes on the cluster after the prachim fall away start to grow. Ubshas knisas mayim baboser, when the grapes grow to the size of a pul halavan, where it has a little bit of moisture inside the grapes that you'd be able to squeeze out a kol shehu of mashke from the grapes. That at those three seasons, you have to worry that maybe the wine has gotten ruined. Now, the Mishnah Yaakov is a famous tshuva in Yerdeya Simin Yud Zayin, where he talks about the concept of when do you have a chiyuv to be bodek for a problem, and when can you assume that everything's probably fine? I don't need to check for a problem. Meaning, I buy a suit, so do I need to check for shatness? Could I just assume most suits aren't shatness? Certainly, for the amount I pay for them, they're not going to be shatness. So I could assume that it's probably okay. Or when do you have to be bodek? Or you have there are so many dinim of treifas in an animal. So do I have to check for every single treifa? I have to check the membrane around the brain and see that there's no holding that, or when can I, what sorts of assumptions can I make? So Mishkan Yaakov has this klal that he tries to, that you have to be choshish to be bodek whenever there's a mi'ilah matzui. He defines mi'ilah matzui as about 10%. Whenever the issue is 10% or more, then there's a chiyuv to be bodek. But if it's a mi'ilah she'ena matzui, then you don't have to be bodek, which is an amazing idea, because that means, let's say it's 4% of animals have a particular treifa that we don't check for. So the halacha is not that we check 4% of animals for that treifa. We don't check for it, which means if you've eaten from 100 different animals over the course of your life, which you have, right, then you've probably eaten 4 treifas at some point, meaning things that were actually treifas. But the halacha doesn't require us to check for that. So why am I mentioning that? Because the Mishnah Yaakov brings a raya from Rabbi Yehuda that you have to be choshesh to be bodek when there's a mi'ilah matzui. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, you have wine that you had put away and you want to rely on that wine to be your truma b'makom acher, but there are 3 times of the year. It's not a rove, that rove of the wine at these 3 times of the year all of a sudden just turns to vinegar, right? It's definitely not a rove, it's a miut, but it's a mi'ilah matzui. And this is a raya that you have to be checking for a mi'ilah matzui. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. So we had said, according to Rabbi Lazar, if you came back and you found that the produce was ruined, so me'eis le'eis is a problem. So my me'eis le'eis, what does he mean me'eis le'eis? So Rabbi Yochanan me'eis le'eis shel bedika. It's me'eis le'eis the last 24 hours before you last checked them. That's where you assume they were ruined. But prior to that, you assume they were fine. Rabbi Lazar Matigus, Rabbi Yanai, no, it's the first 24 hours after you had left them there, after you had put them down in the first place, you could assume that they were fine, but after that you have to assume that they had already spoiled, that they've already been ruined. So Tanan, it's said in the Mishnah, im avdu areze choshish me'es la'es, well bishlam adim remeshe shabedika shapir. If you assume it just means the last 24 hours, the lashon works. Choshish me'es la'es. You're choshish for the last 24 hours. But prior to that, everything was fine. But if you say meisleis means that it's meisleis shel hanacha, that it's only the first 24 hours that everything was okay, and after that everything was problematic, hi meisleis, you're not choshesh meisleis, you're choshesh ad meisleis mi bayalei. It should have said you're choshesh backwards, you go back in time, up until the first 24 hours after you had put it there. It's not meisleis, it's ad meisleis. So kasha, so that's taka kasha. Not a tiyufta, but a kasha. So there's a kushas miyushav that goes through all of the kashas in the Gemara and is miyashiv. What the meaning, whenever it says kasha, it means that there's an answer. So what would the answer have been? So the answer over here would have been tani ad me'es la'es. You know, that's a minor enough change in the girsa that you could change it to ad me'es la'es. So it's just a kasha, not a tiyufta. Divra Rabbi Lazar. So that was Rabbi Lazar shita that yichoshish from me'es la'es. So Amr Rabbi Elazar, Chalukin Alav Chaverav Al Rabbi Elazar. What? Who's talking? So Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, is commenting on Rabbi Elazar the Tana. And he says, you should know that Rabbi Elazar the Tana is a Das Yachid, and there are many Tanaim that disagree with Rabbi Elazar this Tana, and hold that you have to be Choshesh all the way back to the Shas Hanacha. Ditnan, because how do I know Tanaim disagree? Because you have a Mishnah, Masachas Mikvaos, that if you have a Mikvah, Shenimdad V'nimtza Chaser, you had a Mikvah that you know last time you left it had 40 Sa'ah, and then you kept on toveling things, and you kept on using it, and now you measure and you see that it's Chaser, that it's not 40 Sa'ah. So Kol Taharos Shenasu Al Gabav, all Trumos and Taharos that were done based on kelim that were tameh and you were tovel them in this mikvah. So the mafreya bein berushas yachid bein berushas harabim, going backwards, whether back in time, whether the safek tumah was in rishus yachid or the safek tumah was in a rishus harabim, the way Rashi understands, whether the mikvahs in a rishus yachid, where the mikvah is in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, where the halacha normally is Savik Tumba Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Tameh, Savik Tumba Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Tahar, right? We learned Sota Dav Chav Ches, the Gemara derives that klal from Sota and from Asheretz, from two different sources, that it's Savik Tumba Rosh Hashanah Yachid is Tameh, and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is Tahar. So, but nevertheless, in this case, Tameos, regardless of whether it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's Tameh. Not like Rab Lazar in our Mishnah, who says that, no, Mamid B'cheskas Tara until May Eis La'Eis, that just assume that it was B'cheskes Tara up until the last Me'es La'es. Here you have the Mishnah says, no, you have to assume that everything you put in that mikvah since the last time you measured it is in fact Tameh. What about the fact Safik Tum Rosh Hashanah is Tahar? That's only if you have a Safik, whether something Rashi points out, it's only if you have a Safik whether something became Tameh or not. So you Ma'amidim also B'cheskes Tahara. But over here, you know that something had become Tameh. You're just not sure if it had become Tahar, because you brought to a mikvah that may or may not have been okay, but you knew that it was tummy to begin with. So then there is no cheskas tara, and therefore even berushas harabim, it's going to be assumed to be tummy. So says mar pshita dechalukin. So of course that mishnah is against Rav Lazar and our mishnah, right? Meaning it's very clear. Rav Lazar and our mishnah assumes that the way you last left something, you could assume for some period of time it was still okay, whatever that period of time was, 2 days that we just had, whether up until the last 24 hours or only during the first 24 hours, but there's some period of time that you can assume it's okay. And in the Mishnah, Mesach Mikvo says that there's no period of time you can assume it's okay. It's obvious that they're in disagreement with each other. No, Ma'od Detema, Ma'ilu Ma'freya, Me'es La'es. Kamash Milan. I might have assumed that when the Mishnah Mikvo says that it's Tamil Ma'freya, it's only the last 24 hours. So Kamash Milan, that no, it means it's Tamil Ma'freya all the way until the last time that you actually checked it. Rabbi Domer B'Shalosh Prakim. Rabbi said there are 3 times a year you have to check your wine and make sure it didn't turn into vinegar. So Tana Bikidum Shal Matzoya Chag Shal Tkufa, that he's explaining what is this shear of Kidum Shal Matzoya Chag. That was one of the times that Rabbi Yehuda identified. It means in the Ruach HaKadim of Matzoya Chag of the Tkufa, that only if the eastern wind blew after the Chag had started already in Tkufas Tishrei, only then do you have to be bodek that the wine didn't turn into vinegar. But if Tkufas Tammuz continues until after the Chag, meaning if Sukkos came out really early that year, then it was still Tkufas Tammuz, right? We talk about Sukkos comes out early this year, late this year, and people say, what do you mean? It's the same date every year. No, it's not, because we have the dates of the Yom Tovim are by the lunar calendar, so is it early in the solar calendar or not early in the solar calendar? So that's a Chaps and Afgamina in terms of this. So we're saying if it's still in Tkufas Tammuz, then the Ruach HaKadim that blows after the Chag is not going to do anything to the wine. You're not going to have to check. Tanya, Rabbi Yudom, Rabbi Shlosha, Prakam, Rachman, Esatvua. There are 3 Prakam. By the way, that's an important discussion over here. We don't have time for it. But the Gemara Masech Sanhedrin says that if you see that it's going to be in Tekufas Tammuz, you're supposed to be Ma'abar Deshanan to make sure that Sukkos is not in Tekufas Tammuz. So it's a Kasha, the Rishonim's Tosas, and others struggle with over here. How did this happen that it would be in Tekufas Tammuz? It's not supposed to be, you're supposed to adjust the calendar that it should never happen. Tanya, Rabbi Yudom, Rabbi Shlosha, Prakam, Rachman, Esatvua. There are 3 times that you sell. That it's a good time to sell tevuah. Lefnei hazera, before the time for planting, b'shas hazera, u'b'prasa Pesach, and 15 days before Pesach. U'b'shlosh u'prakam achron asiyayin, 3 times that are good to sell wine. B'prasa Pesach, prasa teres, prasa chag, 15 days before each of the shalosh regalim. V'shemen mea teres ve'elech, and the best time to sell oil is from Shavuos and on. L'may hilchsa, who cares when the best time to sell is? You'll sell whenever you want to sell. Amarav v'vitei merav papu l'shutafin, that for one shutaf to sell without the permission of the other shutaf, so that can only be done in a time where it's ideal to sell. And the other shutaf can't come with the taina. Why did you sell then? The prices were about to go up. We could have gotten more for it. No, these are the ideal times to sell, and therefore I'm allowed to sell without permission from the other. Mikan ve'elach, mai, and after these times pass, what's the halacha? Amrava, kol yom apirkehu. It's from these times and on. It's still the time to sell. Once we're talking about ruchos, Yonah. So Yikiz Ruach Hashem Shemimana Elkim Ruach Kadim Charishis in Sefer Yonah. So my Charishis, what does it mean that the Ruach Kadim was Charishis? Amar Rav Yudah B'Shashem and Hashavis also Tlam Tlam in Bayam, that when it blew, it made these furrows in the water itself, in the ocean itself, Lashon of Charisha, like when you plow a field. Amar Le Rabba Ihachi Hainu D'Chziv V'Tach Hashem Shal Rosh Yonah V'Yisalaf. Well, what does it have to do with the rest of the pasuk where it describes how hot it got? What is what the ocean looks like have to do with how hot it's getting? So Ella Amar Rabba. So Rabba says, no. What does Charishis mean? B'Shabashem and Hashavis. When the Ruach Mizrachis blows at a hot time, it's a very hot wind. Mashtekes Kol Ruchos Mipanah. All the other ruchos have no ability to cool off the climate, because it's a hot wind that blows and makes the whole area really, really hot. V'hainu d'chziv, and this is what the pasuk means when it says in Sefer Iyov, Asher begadecha chamim v'ashket eretz midarom. Amar Rav Tachlifa bar Rav Chisa, Amar Rav Chisa, emesai begadecha chamim, when are you begadecha chamim, when is it so hot? B'shar shehishkat eretz midarom. When the ruach that comes from the south, which is a colder wind, has been quieted down. And what is the ruach that was mashtikit? It's the ruach mizrachis, that when it blows, it stops all the other ruchos from having any impact, from being able to cool anything down. Rav Huna Rav Chisa have a yasin. Now the Gemara tells two stories. Rav Huna Rav Chisa were sitting, chalavazel gneva alayu, and a man by the name of Gneva was passing by, was coming to greet them. Amr chad lechavri, so one of them said to the other, nekum mikame debar orion, who he's a gevaldik atam lechachem, we should really stand for someone who knows so much Torah. Now, they are Talmidei Chachamim also. The Shulchan Aruch passes in Reish Mem Dalet in Yerideya that a Talmid Chacham doesn't have to stand for another Talmid Chacham. All he has to do is a little bit of Hidur. So the Gra says that was the suggestion, to do a little Hidur, a nod, or something. So Amalei Idach, so the other one said, Mekami Palga Nekum, well, we're going to stand for a Bal Machlokas? No, you shouldn't stand for such a guy. He's a Bal Machlokas. He doesn't deserve us to stand for him. The Yad Shal says they call him a Palga'a is because he's a Chatzi Mensch, that a person has to be a ben Torah, meaning he has to have Torah and he has to have midos. So he's a palga'a. He has Torah, but he doesn't have midos. The Meiri writes, Talmud Chacham, that's not metzuyan b'midosav. The other Chacham don't have to be knowing any sort of kavatim. It could be that it's usser to be knowing kavat such a person, because it's just going to feed into his gaiva, which is the basis for his problems in the first place. So anyway, adacha asi'u l'gabayu. As they're having this conversation, whether they should stand for him or not, Gneva shows up. Amalu b'mayaskisu. He says, you guys must be very caught up in your learning, because I noticed you didn't stand for me, so it must be that you were very distracted in your learning. So what are you talking about? So what were they talking about? They were talking about him, right? So Amrele, they said Baruchos. We were talking about the winds, right? That's what they came up with. Chassam Sofer says it wasn't a lie. They were talking about the ruach of Geneva, that he had a ruach gavoa, that he was a balgaiva. So they were saying, oh, we're talking about the winds. So Amrele says, oh, I have a great teaching about winds. Hachi Amrav Chana Barava Amrav Arba Ruchos Menashos B'Chol Yom. There are four winds that blow every day. And the northern wind blows with all of them. Because if the northern wind wasn't blowing with all of them, the world wouldn't survive. And the Ruach Dromus is the most impactful of all of them. And if the Malach Ben Nates wouldn't withhold it, would destroy the entire world. The Nates stands in the way and prevents the wind from doing all sorts of damage. So that's one story. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Aviyasvi, Rav Chalufa Azil, Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov. Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov was walking by when Rav and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak were sitting. And he was in a wagon, a golden wagon. And there was a green awning on the wagon. So Rav Azil Gabe, Rav went to go greet him. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak lo Azil Gabe. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak didn't go to greet Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov. So Amar Dilmamin Shidabei Rish Galusa Ninu. He couldn't see that it was Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov in the wagon. He figured it must be someone from the Reish Galusa that's in the wagon. So Rava Tzarechlu, Rava must have some political issue that he's got to discuss with the Reish Galusa. So he needs them and he needs to show respect. And I don't need to show respect. I'm a son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. It's unnecessary for me to go. So Kitachazah, when Rav Nachman Yitzchak saw it, Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov Ava, that no, it was a Talmud Chacham, it was Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov, Ozel Gabe, he went to greet him too. Gali Ladare. So Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov spread out his hands in a way to show that it's so hot. So Omar Shad Yanashiv, Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov said that the shade is blowing
blowing, that there's a really hot wind, that's a ruach shel shedim. Amar Rava, hachi amar Rav. So Rava says, yeah, Rav said that the ruach mizrachis is such a challenging wind that isha mapelis bo, that it causes women to miscarry. Shmuel amar afilu margolish biyam merakevis bo, it even ruins the pearls in the sea. Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu shikva zera shemei isha, even the shikva zera that would impregnate a woman within 3 days of bia gets ruined, and it will make her not pregnant. Masrachas bo, it goes sour, it spoils, and will not be able to impregnate her. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, u'shlosh and mikra echad darshin. They're all darshining these impacts from a pasuk. Pasuk says in Hosea, ki hu bein achim yafri yavi kadim ruach Hashem imidbar ola. And then the second half of the pasuk is what they're darshining. Ve'yevash makaru, and it says ve'achar mayanu yisra otzar kol klichemda. So yevash makaru zeh makar shalisha. That means the uber she may isha is going to be a nefel. Ve'nechar mayanu zeh shechvezer she may isha. That's a reference to the shechvezera. Hu yisra otzar kol klichemda zumar galas shabiyam. The klichemda is the pearls. So amarava adi surahi the daika cry. Wow, that what a drasha that they know how to be medayik the psukim. So Mike Yehu Ben Achim Yafri, what about the first half of the pasuk? How do we dash in that? Amarava afilu shuf subi kofina demara, that even if you have a handle in the cavity of a hoe, rafia, it loosens because it dries up the handle to the point that it withers and becomes loose in the handle of the hoe. Rav Yosef amar afilu siksa bedafna rafia, even a peg in a wall becomes loose. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar afilu kanya bekufta rafia, even a reed in a wicker basket becomes loose. Hadron l'chol get bez Hashem. Next time, tomorrow, we'll pick up with the fourth parak of Maseches Gittin. Everyone have a great Shabbos. Have a great day.
Thank you, Rabbi. Great Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.